Does your cup runneth over? Praise the Lord for that. Dave, last night and this morning and quite frequently in the last couple of weeks, I've had a lot of hallelujah moments. Thank you. The Lord has blessed me so well. I have a wonderful wife, wonderful children. He's blessed me with something far greater than that, but He's blessed me with the hope of eternal salvation. He's blessed me with a kingdom that will never fail. I would like you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. This is where my thoughts will be coming from today. And if you find it necessary, and I hope that you do find this edifying, I hope that this convicts you, please take out a piece of paper and a pen and write down some notes. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it ever be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will, by itself, endure forever. Before this passage, Daniel is interpreting a dream for the king, for King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar went to his wise men and he said, I had a dream. Interpret it for me, but I'm not going to tell you the dream. The wise man couldn't do that. So King Nebuchadnezzar was going to have those men killed, because they weren't very wise. But a man named Daniel, who was a Hebrew, said to the guard, take me to King Nebuchadnezzar so I can interpret his dream and save those men. Daniel stood before the king and he said, King Nebuchadnezzar, I can tell you your dream and I can interpret it for you. What you saw was a great statue, a great image, with its head made of gold, its chest and arms made of silver, its belly and thighs made of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet mixed iron and clay. It was a great image. And as you're looking at this image, a hand, a finger, cut a big rock. Not a human finger, but it cut a big rock out of the side of a mountain. And that rock came down and smashed that image into pieces. It smashed it so small it was like chaff on a threshing floor. I don't know how many of you really think about chaff or really have decided what chaff is, but when I think of chaff, I think of growing up in Prairie City. I think of the grain elevators and the farmers bringing their grain in, and I think of how the corn chaff flew through the air as all the farmers brought it into the co-op so that it could dry the corn. And this corn chaff was on your windshield. It was in your grass. It was everywhere. It blew from to and fro. That's what I think of as chaff. It's real small. This dream was interpreted. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, you are this head of gold. God has given you dominion over a kingdom. And after you, there will be another kingdom. And it will be a chest and arms, and it will be silver. And after that, there's going to be another kingdom made of bronze for the belly and thighs. And after that, there's going to be another kingdom made of iron, of legs. And then after that, there's going to be feet of clay mixed with iron, meaning that that kingdom will be divided. Some will be strong and some will be brittle. What an amazing dream. What an amazing interpretation. And in verse 44, it says, God's kingdom, this big rock you see, cut out of the side of the mountain, it's going to come down and it's going to smash it to bits. It's going to crush all of these kingdoms. All of these earthly kingdoms will be crushed by this big rock. And what is this big rock? It is Jesus. Jesus is this big rock. And I find that that's fitting that in this scripture, this rock is referred to as Christ. Let's prove this point of God's kingdom will destroy all other kingdoms. We can go to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 if you wish. Don't turn to me, turn to the Bible. Chapter 15, verses 21 through 22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father, the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. At the end of time, Christ will come and he will destroy all kingdoms. All kingdoms. And those kingdoms will be where? They will be under his feet. Jesus will hand over this kingdom to God. The kingdom of earth and the kingdom of death will be destroyed. And no longer will there be an earth, and no longer will there be a death. In 2 Peter 3, we see more proof of this. 2 Peter 3 is full of this proof. He talks about in 3 the day of the coming of the Lord, how God's kingdom will conquer and rule. And let's go to 2 Peter 3 and look at verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed. The earth will be destroyed. What kingdom do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of a kingdom that lives forever? Or do you want to be a kingdom or a part of a kingdom that is destroyed? Are you convicted that God's kingdom will destroy or the earthly kingdom and rule? If you're not, go back to these verses and read them and see what they say. Now let's go back to this rock that we read about in Daniel in chapter 2. This rock that was cut out of sight of a mountain, not by the hands of man, but this rock comes and it destroys kingdoms. As I mentioned before, this rock is Christ. And I want to prove to you that this rock is Christ. In doing so, we need to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we need to read verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you the truth, and I tell you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This kingdom will defeat Hades. It will defeat death. This sometimes gets confusing for people. Sometimes people think Peter is the rock that Christ is going to build his church on. But that's not true. The word for Peter in Greek is Petros. It's a masculine word. And the Greek word for rock that is used here is a feminine word. Christ was the bridegroom. Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock, the foundation that the church will be built upon. So the theory that Peter was the rock that the church was going to be built upon doesn't hold water. Christ is that stone. Christ is that rock, that chief cornerstone. And let's prove this point a little bit further by going to Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23. Sorry for the Bible search, but I feel that it's very important for us to use the Bible and not use my commentary. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the house, or the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. So Christ is the head of the church. It is Christ that has been built upon this foundation for the church to exist. And Ephesians 2, 20 through 22, whoops. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises and becomes a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As I have said before, our bodies is the temple of Christ. We can't worship him with things that we build of our hands, but we must worship him in spirit. And it shows us here that Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the one where the foundation of the church is built, and everything is built off of him. 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, well, let's turn to it. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The church has a foundation that no man could lay. It took God. It took Jesus to lay this foundation. The only one who could have laid it was Christ. And he did it. And how did he lay it? By dying on the cross and rising again in 3 days, conquering death, giving us that hope of eternal salvation in which we need to get ourselves through all the trials and temptations that happen to us. This is what helps us persevere. Paul continues to say in the verses around this one, if anyone who builds on this foundation using something other than God's word, that person will be tested. He will be tried by fire. And his works will be seen for what they are. And some people follow those, but they're not the true word. They're not what God wants us to have. In 1 Peter 2:5, we have an example of where Peter says that we are living stones. And isn't it interesting that Peter says we are living stones? He doesn't say, I'm the foundation and you are living stones and you got to build off of me. Peter admits to us that he is also a living stone. And those living stones are built upon the chief cornerstone. This chief cornerstone that was rejected by men. men that didn't want it. They didn't want to hear it. But Jesus is this chief cornerstone. And it isn't interesting that this foundation, this rock, is going to smash all other kingdoms. Are you convicted that Christ is the foundation of the church? Let us look at a few more truths before we bring this lesson to a close. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may also root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." The kingdom of heaven is going to separate the wheat from the tares. The kingdom of heaven is going to smash all the earth's kingdoms. It's going to get rid of those tares. It's going to burn them. And the good wheat is going to go to heaven. In Matthew 22, 1 through 14, we have, let me turn to it here real quick. I need to get caught up with my notes. In Matthew 22, 14, we have another parable, a parable of a wedding banquet. And God has asked these people, or this king has asked these people, to come to this wedding. And they refused to come. And he pleads to them again, and he asks them to come to this wedding feast. And they refuse to come. And these people go out into the fields. And then he finds out later that these people also killed his servants. And the king was upset about that. And he sent out his armies, and he destroyed them. But there were some that listened. They went out to the streets and they gathered the people that they could, both good and the bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But the king, he saw one not dressed in wedding clothes. Those that weren't dressed, those that weren't prepared, he sent his servants to take them outside and destroy them. And darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We go a couple of chapters into the 25th chapter, and we find another parable of the 10 virgins. And we remember the 10 virgins, that 5 had oil and 5 did not, and the 5 that did not wanted to share with the 5 that did, but they said, "No, go get your own." What's the thing here? Readiness is required. That's the lesson learned. Readiness is required. You need to be ready. You need to listen to what this God, this Jesus has to say, so that you can be a part of his kingdom. Mark 13, 32 through 37. No one knows about that day or hour, not even angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This lesson hits home to me in three different ways. I think all of you can remember my dad standing up here telling us, you never know what's going to happen from one moment to one moment. And things can change like that. It happened to him. Things changed so fast for him. He didn't have time to think. He didn't have time to do anything. Was he prepared? I think he was. I think about that. It happened so fast for him. And nothing was going to save him. He dialed 811. He missed a number on his phone, but they wouldn't have got there in time. Last summer, I was dumping some concrete down a ditch. My load shifted. I went down a ditch. I look at that ditch every day. And you ask me why I'm happy? I'm happy because I'm alive. I'm happy because I have that hope. I'm happy I have a second chance to be prepared. I don't think I was prepared before then. I was growing, I was maturing, but I don't think I was totally prepared. I don't think that I'm totally prepared now. But I'm trying. And I'm trying to show good works. And I'm trying to do the right thing. I didn't even have time to do anything. I just took the ride down the ditch and landed in the water, unconscious. A month ago, my grandma was just fine. She started having strokes, and the strokes got worse. And Wednesday she passed away. She had a little bit of time, but there was no warning. There was no warning for her. But we have a warning. This warning is right here. Be prepared. Because the kingdom of God is coming. And it's going to smash earthly kingdoms. Those things, those treasures that you put your heart and mind into, those earthly treasures, they're going to be smashed to bits. No. Let's set our hearts and minds on the treasures that are in heaven. The kingdom of God will spare us from death. Daniel knew that God saved him from death. Did God close the lion's mouth? What about Shadrach and Meshach? God can spare us from death. The rock that was carved out of a mountain, to me, is a shadow, a foreshadow of a foundation of Christ coming to build that church. And that rock will come and destroy these earthly kingdoms. What did Mark 13:32 say? You don't know when he's coming back. Not even the angels know. Nobody knows. Let's be alert. The joy and the hope that I have is because I have a second chance. Some of us not be so lucky to have that second chance. Are you convicted that God's kingdom will endure forever? Think about how many smart men there have been who have run kingdoms, but yet their smartness didn't endure. Something came along and beat it down. How vain must you think that you are that smart? You don't need God. We need God. We need to be ready. I'm going to offer a gospel invitation to anyone who wants to become baptized for the remission of their sins, who wants to change their life and not be conformed to this world, but follow Jesus and be a part of a kingdom that will never be destroyed, that will never fail. I offer you that invitation as we stand and sing the invitation song.